This man changed the world.
Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar. Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar.
Our bosses couldn't cope with the idea of an 80-year-old Ayatollah, which they didn't even know what an Ayatollah was, who lived on garlic and onions and yogurt, directing a revolution that was about to topple America's most important ally.
شما در این قرن معجزه کردید. ملت ایران ملت معجزه آسای قرن است.
الله اکبر. خمینی رهبر. الله اکبر.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Exalted, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Salam, hello and welcome to our audience and a warm welcome to our listeners of our program, The Man Who Changed the World. This is a program dedicated to the life and times of Imam Khomeini, may God bless his great soul. And I'm your host on this program, Ijaz Hussain. And the expert I have to discuss this as usual on the life and times of Imam Khomeini, may God bless his great soul, is Dr. Mahdi Tarabi. Good friend, academic scholar, and Islamic scholar as well. A very warm welcome to you, sir. Salam and hello.
Alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for inviting me.
Dr. Mahdi Tarabi, we are looking at the Imam's will.
Mm-hmm.
Give us the analysis, if you like, the thinking behind why is it so essential that we Muslims must be united?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Let's look at what he said in this quote. Unfortunately, in the hands of conniving enemies and ignorant friends, the Holy Quran, this divine book that is empowered to decide man's destiny, has found no place anywhere except in graveyards and at gatherings of the dead, for the dead, although technically also of the dead.
Of the dead, of course, yes.
The instrument that was to unite Muslims and all mankind, the instrument that was to unite Muslims and all mankind.
Yes. And all mankind.
Listen, Imam is, you know, it's his last will. So he's being hardcore.
He's very hardcore.
He's not even...
And because when he says all mankind, of course the Quran is for all humanity, for all time.
Right.
Whether we are believers or not is immaterial.
Right. The instrument that was to unite the Muslims and all mankind and serve as the scripture for their lives and salvation has turned into an instrument of division and dispute among men, or it has left the arena entirely. We all witnessed that whoever spoke of Islamic rule or of politics, which is the major role of Islam and its prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or of the Quran and the Islamic traditions, was regarded as one who had committed a grave sin. The term ahunde siyasi, political clergy, came to denote a profound obscurantist.
Right.
These circumstances still exist. In recent years, major satanic powers have, through their puppet regimes, undertaken to reprint and publish the Holy Quran, distorting sacred verses to serve their devilish ends. Such Qurans are published with attractive calligraphy and binding and are distributed everywhere with the aim of eventually removing the Holy Book from all scenes.
My goodness.
We all remember the Quran that Muhammad Reza Khan Pahlavi had printed. He succeeded in deceiving some people, including a few Muslim ahunds or preachers who, unaware of the aims of Islam, praised him for it. We note that each year, King Fahd of Saudi Arabia, at that time it was King Fahd in Saudi Arabia, spends a good deal of wealth of the people in printing the Holy Quran and considerable publicity and propaganda material in support of the anti-Quranic ideas, propagating the baseless and superstitious cult of
Wahhabism.
Fahd abuses the Quran, urges negligent people and nations to side with the superpowers. He uses noble Islam and the Holy Book to destroy both.
Very interesting.
And let there be no doubt that, I'm saying this now, this is not a quote, that it is exactly the same way today.
Exactly.
With Abdullah.
With Abdullah and Prince Bandar.
And whoever it is that's going to rule the Ahlus Sa'ud, because Ahlus Sa'ud look at Islam as an instrument to maintain their family
own
rule.
Power.
They don't really care about Islam.
No, they don't, because they burn the Qurans as well.
Right. We are proud, this is Imam, and I love this part, we are proud and our dedicated nation is proud that we adhere to the faith in which the Holy Quran speaks of the unity.
The unity, yes.
The unity of all Muslims and the oneness of mankind.
Oneness of mankind.
Because it's not just about unity of Muslims, it's the oneness of
all mankind.
Mankind,
yes.
We are proud that our faith has retrieved the Quran from the cemeteries and has saved this holy book as man's prescription for freedom from all physical, mental, and intellectual bonds that push him deeper into slavery and nothingness.
Into non-existence.
We are proud to be followers of a religion whose founder has been designated by divine commandment, and in which Ali ibn Abi Talib, alayhi salam, this servant of God, free of all bonds and shackles of servitude and serfdom, has been appointed to deliver mankind from all the chains of slavery and enslavement. We are honored that the book Nahj al-Balagha, which is next to the Quran, is man's great manuscript for salvation, moral and material existence, and the greatest instrument for just rule and government, and has our infallible Imam Ali as its author. Well, you know, what can I say? We see these things. There's other things he says here, which I think is very nice. And I'm reading this in the beginning, and then we're going to talk a little bit more, because I think, you know, his own words really
say it all.
Right. Our nation, indeed all Islamic nations, as well as the meek and oppressed, are pleased to see that their enemies, who are the enemies of Almighty God, of Islam and of the Holy Quran, are indeed savages, who do not desist from committing any criminal acts to promote their mean purposes, and who are unable to tell a friend from a foe in achieving treacherous goals. I think this would
reflects Syria very well.
With what's going on in Syria.
Syria, very well.
Okay, now
savages.
Let's listen to the sentence. Yeah. This sentence that's going to come
and digest that.
And let's just ponder on it.
The
USA is the foremost enemy of Islam.
Ah,
period.
What's new?
It is a terrorist state by nature.
Ah, and they declared a war on terror, didn't they?
It is a terrorist state by nature that has set fire to everything, everywhere, and its allies. The internet and its allies. Everything, everywhere, and its allies.
Allies as well.
No, no. And its ally, international Zionism, does not stop short of any crime to achieve its base and greedy desires.
Yes.
Crimes that the tongue and the pen are ashamed to utter and write.
True.
The insane idea of a greater Israel urges them to commit any shameful act. The Islamic nations and the mustazafin, the weak and oppressed, peoples of the world, are pleased to have Hussein of Jordan, a professional itinerant criminal, Hassan of Morocco, and Hosni Mubarak of Egypt, fellows of Israel, as their enemies. The people are proud to have them as their enemies. These are criminals with Israel. These are co-criminals with Israel and commit any act of treason against their own nations to serve the USA. We cheer to have Saddam the Aflaki as an enemy, whom friend and foe know to be a criminal, a violator of human rights and international laws, and whose betrayal of the people of Iraq and of the Persian Gulf Emirates has been no less than his betrayal of our country and people. We and the oppressed peoples of the world are delighted to be objects of criminal accusations by the superpowers through their international mass media under their control.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
I mean, think about this
right at the beginning. Well, you know,
I mean,
think about
all these people these Muslims who so desperately try to.
Yeah.
Oh, please love us.
Yes,
please, we're good.
We are good. We are nice.
Right.
We're peaceful.
He's saying we're proud.
Yeah.
We're delighted.
Yeah.
To be objects.
Objects.
Of criminal accusations.
Exactly, because it keeps us on the right path.
Well, I mean, I think it just you have to understand Islam.
Yes, this is it.
Right.
This is what we're talking about.
What can be a better source of pride? This is him speaking. What can be a better source of pride than the fact that the USA, with all its military might, its boastfulness, its claims, its mass media, and its allies among puppet regimes, has been so dumbfounded and disgraced in its dealings with the dauntless Iranian nation and the land of His Holiness Bariatullah.
Wonderful, yeah.
That it does not know which way to turn and who to turn to. This is not the work of anyone. Anyone or anything except divine assistance. That has awakened nations. Islamic awakening?
Islamic awakening.
Particularly the Iranian Muslim nation, and has guided it from darkness into light, the light of Islam. And this is the final paragraph that I'm going to read. I now take this opportunity to advise the oppressed and noble nations, including our own, to stay firmly on this divine straight path that leads neither to the atheistic, mulhid, God-denying East, nor to the oppressive, idolatrous West, but to the path which Almighty God has decreed for us.
Exactly.
I further advise not to be negligent even for a single moment in being grateful for this blessing. Let no polluted hand of a superpower or its agents, whether domestic or foreign, affect your determination and will. Know that the angrier the Eastern or Western satanic powers get, the more proof it is for your divine support. And God shall reward and punish the deserving ones in the best fashion, in this and in the other worlds.
Oh, and then he
quotes, finally he quotes an ayah from Surah Mu'minin, verse 88. Truly he is the Lord of all blessing, and in his land lies dominion over all things.
Well, that, in a nutshell, says everything about the greatness of the Imam in terms of the fact of the understanding of Islam, because this has been a big, big problem for many centuries. And he's given us the path, if you like, the road to salvation, and telling us that in the circumstances we are now, and we are talking about 25 years on since he said those words, and we see the situation what it is, for what it is, and everything about it still is fresh. It's still, it's become crystal clear now. I mean, at that time when he was saying those things, that wasn't clear. But now we see them, the savages for what they are, who is the real enemy of Islam. And for us, as he says, the greatest divine blessing for us is the fact that the more angrier they become with us, the better.
And, you know, I don't know. I think it really, you got to think about what he's saying.
Hmm.
He's saying that, you know, you have to understand the nature of who they are.
Exactly.
He says they're
were talking about that, right, in another program, that we must know our enemy.
Right. And he's talking about their terrorist state by nature.
Yeah, of course.
So
where are these human rights and all these other things they
then
talk about?
Then he's talking about the fact that, you know, we are delighted and it's a source of pride that they accuse us.
Of criminal.
And they call us names.
They call us names.
This shows that.
Islamophobia in Europe and whatever else you call it.
And he says the angrier that they get, and he's talking both Eastern and Western satanic powers, as he puts it.
Sure.
The more proof it is for your divine support.
Yes.
And this is something, you know, this is a higher...
This is Quranic, you know, this is the Quranic
and
thinking.
And so this is the point we're trying to make with the listeners, and of course, in the first instance with ourselves.
Ourselves, yes.
You know, don't look at the minimum level of Islam.
Oh,
look at the maximum level.
Look at the maximum, look at the ultimate.
Look at that hardcore level of it.
Hardcore.
Well, and say, I don't know. Well, you know, you can do it.
Yes.
You know?
It's not difficult because The prophets themselves are our examples.
Right. So the point is that
peace be upon
obviously them. They're going to try to make you regret having gone this path.
Yes, they do, don't they?
Okay, shaitan. That's shaitan's job.
That's shaitan. He wants to make heaven look like hell.
Exactly.
And make
exactly
hell look like heaven.
Exactly. And so the point is that, you know, I don't think we should be so worried that they call us names or terrorists or whatever, you guys are this or that.
Yeah.
I mean, reality, everybody's seeing this now. Maybe at that time...
At that time, it wasn't clear.
Right. At that time, they were maybe able to manipulate matters more.
Sure, sure.
You know, again, the example of Syria is a very good one.
Very good. The savages are there.
Right. I mean, it's very clear who's being barbaric there.
Barbaric there, yes.
It's the Americans and the Israelis and the Saudis.
Cohorts with the Wahhabis.
Right.
Yes.
When, of course, the, you know, poodles from Europe, you know, going along.
Yeah.
And the ones who are actually fighting for unity, who are fighting to maintain, you know, peace and
stability
and civilization.
Position.
Right. Because remember, barbarism is always as opposed to the civilized, right?
Of course
you have
it is.
Civilized and you have barbarians.
Barbarians. That's still true, right? Since Roman days.
So I think it's safe to say that, you know,
Iran is at the forefront of civilization.
Of civilization in this matter.
Exactly. And this is what's eating away at them at the moment because...
Because
I'm only going to quote from, you know, their own experts. Even, you know, Professor Neil Ferguson, who's also an Oxford economist from Oxford.
Scottish.
He's not Scottish. Ferguson. He is Scottish. I beg your pardon. Sorry, mm-hmm. Mr. Ferguson. Anyway... He says, in his own words, that, you know, the West is in decline because of its paganism and its hedonism and the fact that it is corrupt beyond belief. And because of that, their decline is such that they have gone into the depths of barbarism. But they don't realize it until now, 25 years on, as we were talking about the occupation movement, the Occupy movement, we were looking at other protests elsewhere throughout Europe. Of course, the Islamic awakening is on the one hand. But when we put all that together, we see the truth ringing out of the Imam's words. That's exactly the situation that we've got now. That people have now realized that, wait a minute, these people who were professing civilization and human rights and all the rest of it are in cahoots with liberators, head choppers, who, you know, I mean, we saw that on the screens, you know, Christian priests in Syria with their heads being hacked off with a saw. Right. And they think that's okay. You tell me what the war on terror is all about.
Right. And I think the point that Imam Khomeini is talking here too. He's speaking to Muslims.
He's speaking to Muslims.
He's saying to them. I mean, he says obviously he's speaking to more than Muslims, but his main audience or the main people who are supposed to understand this are the Muslims. So I think we have a problem in the Muslim world is that we don't really go to the furthest extent that the Quran wants us.
Exactly. And the other
we're always trying to kind of make it sweeter and nicer and let's have a whole big spoon of sugar so the medicine goes down, you know.
Yeah, exactly. But
that's not the point. The point is that, you know, it's not about in your heart. And this is a different issue than trying to, you know, deal diplomatically with your enemy or with people.
That's not what we're talking
about. You know, it doesn't mean that you go out and you are rude. But in your heart, okay?
Mm.
You shouldn't care what they say about
exactly.
you.
Exactly. Because there is a Quranic ayat I was about to quote that the believers, the mu'mineen, are hard against the unbelievers but compassionate amongst themselves.
Right. So, you know, I'm really impressed by what he's saying here.
Yeah.
When we and the oppressed peoples of the world are delighted to be the objects of criminal accusations.
Yes.
By the superpowers through their international mass media.
In a sense, I'm getting that Islamophobia thing, aren't we?
He's like, we're quite happy that you're doing this.
We're quite happy that you do this.
And unfortunately, I see a lot of Muslims, they're like, that's not good, whatever.
I don't want to say this and I don't want to quote that. No, this is the point. You know, I was going to say, I saw on the television this wonderful image where you see Kofi Annan, the former UN Secretary General, along with a good friend, Desmond Tutu.
Yeah.
The Archbishop with a huge cross. I mean, I love Desmond Tutu. I mean, he really knows how to decorate himself. But he's got the huge cross right in front. And what's he doing? He's doing pilgrimage. He's doing ziyara, as we say, of Imam Khomeini. Desmond Tutu. That's the crux of what we're talking about. You see, I tell you, I used to have these debates with non-Muslims in my office when I used to work as an engineer.
Right.
And when I used to say the nitty-gritty, which I grasped from the Holy Imam, that, look, this is the reality of things, you know. I mean, you may not know this now, but you'll realize this later.
Right.
And they didn't like what I had to say. It doesn't go down well. I used to see the colors change in the face, you know.
Right.
1 minute red, next minute white, you know.
Right.
But maybe that's just the way Anglo-Saxons look. I don't know.
Right.
But anyway,
or blue,
as it happens to be in Scotland.
As Billy Connolly
but
said.
But at the end of the day, you know what they said? They said, you know, you're right to stick to what you know. It's right to stick to principle. And that's the thing. This is what we're talking about here, that if we understand the reality of what we believe, we stick to principle,
right,
things will come our way. They'll realize that we really stand for something that's important, something that's truth. Otherwise,
I mean, I think it just goes back to, I mean, it goes back to what we've been talking about in different programs, which is, do you believe the Quran or not?
Exactly.
Okay. I mean, like you said, you know, people reciting it parrot-wise and
singers of the Quran.
Singers of the Quran. That's, you know, we don't want that.
We don't want that.
We want somebody, and again, this is first addressed to ourselves.
Yes.
Who, when they read about a promise, a divine promise in the Quran,
they believe it.
They believe.
Yes, because Allah said it. I believe Allah.
Okay. This is the problem.
Yeah.
This is the problem. We want to believe, or we, you know, it makes us feel emotionally good when we hear this.
Mm.
But then when we're faced with these issues.
Issues, yes.
On a real
reality basis, right, yes.
Whether it's as an individual or whether it's as a government or as a government official.
Yes, as a
government. And then we think to ourselves, well, how is it that God could really, you know, the Americans with all their power, they can do this and that.
That, yes.
I mean, I'm very upset because our dear foreign minister said something he shouldn't have said. And, you know, and he did apologize afterwards.
Did he?
Yes.
Right.
Well,
I hadn't heard this.
He had to.
Okay.
He basically said that, you know, what are you talking about? They can destroy the Americans can destroy our, you know, anti-air
system, defense system.
With one bomb.
Mm.
And, you know, this, I think, shows a poverty of understanding.
It does.
Of what's going on. Because remember, at the time of the war.
And at the time when these. Well, I mean, I know this is the will, but I just like to go back to the desert of.
Right, exactly. I mean, you know.
Desert of Tabas.
Right.
Please remember
is,
that one.
The point
where,
is that.
Where the Quranic verse of Surah Fil was recited, and I remember that it went through every mosque all over the world, that what happened in the desert of Tabas was like Surah Fil. End of story.
Right. And my point is this.
Yes.
Whether you know Surah Fil or you don't.
Don't, yes. Or,
okay,
yeah, sure.
Or whether you're able to.
Sorry, I meant the chapter of the elephant.
Just right, exactly. And I'm simply saying that, you know, you have to understand that there is two schools. One is relying on divine assistance.
Exactly. Solely.
Right. And the other school is relying on other than that. Whatever that other thing is. Whether it's your own. You know, thinking that you yourself can do things, whether it's, you know, whoever is going to help you, this nation, that nation.
Well, this is where I love that in the Quran, when I read that.
And these are the only two options.
Yes.
As a Muslim, right, this is my point, as a Muslim, you have to believe in divine assistance. Otherwise, you don't really understand what you're doing.
Exactly, because what I was going to say was, and this is what you see in the Quran over and over again, Allah says, do you believe me? When I make my promise to you that I will reward you both in this world and in the hereafter? Or have you decided in your heart of heart that you have other gods beside me?
Right. So the point is, it's not even about rational versus irrational, because they always come back and they say, well, you got to look at things rationally.
Rationally, yes.
This is the way the world is.
Yes, practically, yes.
And the point is really this. Okay, if somebody from the beginning doesn't believe in God, yes.
Yeah, that's true.
Very rational.
Very rational.
You look at the material facts, so to speak, as they say, empirical analysis.
Yes.
And done.
Yes, you're thinking of your pocket and your stomach.
Now, the interesting thing is that empirical evidence proves that even relying on empirical evidence is not always reliable.
No, because we've got crises all over the place.
It's that thing you were talking about, which is you as an engineer, you do simulations where, hey, suddenly.
Thank you. Thank
right?
you.
I think,
why do you bring that back?
I think it's called Black Swan.
Yes.
It's called the Black Swan. In economics, they call it Black Swan.
It's a Black Swan,
which
right.
is that, you know, an event that you there was no way of predicting.
No way of predicting.
Just like, you know, it's very rare to have a Black Swan.
Oh, and it's, you know, very rare to have a 500-mile-an-hour wind, but you may get it and your bridge disappears.
Right.
Yes.
So the point is that even if you just, you know, there's a limit.
Yes,
doesn't mean you shouldn't do empirical analysis. Nobody's against empirical analysis. Nobody's against science.
No.
Right?
We invented it, actually.
Yeah, and remember, we bring down the drones.
We bring down the drones.
With science.
Yes, it's science.
Right?
Yes, thank you.
The point is that a step before that, or if you want to put it that way, this is happening within a larger context, which is the will of God.
Exactly.
Okay? Mm-hmm. So, at some point, you have to, with yourself, in your own heart, decide which one it is.
And this is what was the greatness of the Imam, wasn't it? May God bless his soul, Imam Khomeini, that he was completely and utterly devoted to Allah himself. And that's what's reflecting in his
complete
words.
Complete tawakkul.
He's saying, look, forget about all this. This is just an illusion. You're deluding yourself by looking at
it. And
this.
It's a problem because you end up doing things that you shouldn't have done.
Should not do. Because you'll be mushrik. You'll become...
You'll do things that won't be in your benefit.
No.
I'm talking about personal benefit.
Personal benefit even, yes.
Okay? Don't rely on these tawud.
No.
Okay? If they're saying things about you,
Who cares?
You know, like the Supreme Leader says, don't let their smile or their frown
deceive you.
So what? They're smiling? Sure. They're frowning?
But I love the fact that the Rahbar, the Supreme Leader, did say that it's nice to have the experience.
He says, this too will be an experience.
This too will be.
Okay.
Right.
So I think...
Yes, just to round off this particular session.
I think
those
things that we read, one, it was an issue of unity.
Unity, yes.
And how
Number
it is
one.
Through the Saudis and through the Wahhabis and through the distortions of Islam. And through, you know, using people who appear to be Islamic.
Yes. To divide and to
destroy Islam.
Islam, yes. Because the Holy Quran says that. Hold firm onto the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This unity, this is our power.
So let's not be fooled by anybody in Saudi Arabia and all these guys.
No. And I hope
their goal is to get rid of Islam. And the only reason Ali Saud supports Islam is so that they can maintain their own family.
Exactly.
Rule.
Yes.
And no other reason.
Yes.
There is no other reason.
No.
Okay. The other thing he talks about is the fact that, you know, we should be happy that you have certain people who by nature are terrorists.
Yes.
I'm talking about governments.
Governments, yes, which is the U.S.
Right. And others.
Yes.
We should be proud of the fact that they are accusing us of things because that shows that, hey, we're doing it.
We're doing the right thing.
Right.
We're doing the right
You really
thing.
Don't want these guys to praise you.
No.
Once they start praising you, you gotta look at yourself.
Yeah, you've got to really reflect on yourself that something's gone wrong.
And going on this path, this Sirat al-Mustaqim, which, you know, prevents you from being mulhed being a person who denies God altogether.
Yes, atheist, yes.
Anti-theist.
Yes.
Actually, I think a good translation is anti-theist.
Anti-theist, yes.
Okay. Mm. And then you have... You know, you won't go there, nor will you go to this kind of idolatrous, polytheist. And when we talk about polytheist, we're not talking about like, you know, gods,
like
statues.
It's like taking them for a god.
It's taking your own nafs, your own desires.
Yes, and tying them with...
Your own desires as your god.
God.
Yes, because isn't this really the characteristics of Islam, of Western civilization?
Of course it is.
Is that your desire is your god.
Is your god.
And has to be... Serviced any way, which way is necessary.
Exactly. On that note, Dr. Mehdi Tarabi, I thank you very much for your insight into the Imam's words. Of course, they still resonate deeply in our hearts. And we hope to stay on Sirat al-Mustaqim, the true path that Allah revealed for us in the Holy Quran. And, you know, really to read the Holy Quran and its message and take it on board for what it really is, the ultimate goal is for the salvation of man. And it just leaves me to thank our listeners and to thank you, sir, as well. And wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and mercy and blessings of Allah be upon you all. Thank you for listening and goodbye. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.